Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 373. And as always, we're brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, anything you buy there for a little while just gives us a little bit of a kickback, doesn't cost you anything, and helps us keep the podcast going. Over in sunny San Diego is Bob. What's going on, Bob?
What up, man? I'm feeling nostalgic right now.
Uh-oh, why's that?
Because I have a Mountain Dew.
A Mountain Dew?
A Mountain Dew in the can. It's always better.
When's
in
the last time you had one of those?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't really like the drink.
The Code Red. I don't really like regular Mountain Dew. Code Red's pretty decent though.
I don't really drink soda. I drink energy drinks, which isn't much better.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. But I don't really drink, I call it pop, but most people call it soda.
No, it's pop. So,
but it's like this. If I had like a slice of, say, like Pizza Hut pizza, it'd be perfect. It'd be like total nostalgic. You know, because you would always get the pizza and you get a 2-liter Mountain Dew. Yep. It's just that was the life, you know, growing up. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, this is I actually went to the dollar store where nothing's
like a tall boy.
Yeah, this was at the dollar store.
What in the dollar store where it's everything's $1.25 now?
Yeah, this was $1.25. Yeah. So. But I saw it, so I was like, I'm going to get it for the podcast, because I was like, I usually either drink it. Well, I guess the last couple weeks I haven't, but I felt like I needed it today. So, yeah. So yeah. We have some Mountain Dew. But yeah, it's sunny and hot here in San Diego. So
it's been nice this week here, so I can't complain.
I had a fan running. I turned it off for the podcast. So if you see me sweating through my shirt, then it's really, really hot here, but I don't think it's going to be. But talking about the shirt, I'm wearing the OG Think Computers graphic tee here.
Like Cliff. So. And I was figuring out what to wear, so I pulled out the old BYOC shirt in QuakeCons this week, starts tomorrow. So I was like, well, we're not there, so I'll at least wear the shirt tonight. So
nice. So,
and on the back, I looked at it. It's from 2011.
Whew.
This one is.
You had gone a bunch of years to QuakeCon, right?
Yeah. Nice. I've probably gone. I need to count up. Maybe.
I remember we hosted. That's like how Think Computer sort of kind of started too. Is like we hosted LAN parties back in Pittsburgh, and then I went to the big LAN party that I went to was Million Man LAN in Kentucky, and that was so much fun. It was like such a cool experience too. So those big LAN parties are a lot of fun. You meet a lot of really cool people too.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we had talked about this. We had to think about going to what's the next year's the big anniversary for QuakeCon, right?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what you had said.
It was going to be an anniversary trip for me. It'll be 20 years of the first trip I went, because I first went in 2004.
Okay,
so gotcha. It would be like the 20 years from when I first.
Yeah, we gotta get that. We'll figure something out. Yeah, thinking about that, because that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, another week, lots going on tech world. Some cool reviews, some cool stuff coming up that we have as well. Like I always say, guys, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you wanted to follow along, everything is right here. It is linked in the description of the video where you're watching this, or you can just find it on the website under the podcast section. We're going to start this week with a very affordable case from Cooler Master. I took a look at their MasterBox TD500 Mesh V2. So this is the second generation of their TD500 Mesh. And I really like this case. It's $109.99, which I feel like over the past couple years, trying to stay around that $100 price point for a PC case, a mid-tower that is semi-featured, you're looking at more like $130, $140. So $109.99 isn't bad for what all you're going to get, which I will go into. But this is a normal mid-tower, but it does support extended ATX motherboards up to a certain size. So that is really nice. So we have the white version here, which has the kind of gray in the front for the, of course, higher flow design. This is all mesh right here. But it does come in black as well. And of course, on the front, we have fans. So you get three included fans, which are behind this mesh. These are ARGB fans, which is really nice. And they are pre-wired. So
oh, that's nice.
First time builder or even experienced builder, especially when it comes to having three ARGB fans included. If those aren't pre-wired, just wiring everything up, especially when it comes to RGB stuff, is not fun. So these are all pre-wired in the, you know, to the controller. And it's a ARGB controller as well as hub, as well as a fan hub as well. So it's all, everything is all wired. You don't have to worry about anything. This is a new case too, and it does come with some of the, I feel like cases haven't changed all that much, but one of the newer things that we are getting is the Type-C, USB 3.2 Type-C on the front. So if you did have like a really fast portable SSD, you can connect it at the front instead of trying to do it around the back. At the top here, we have room for cooling. So up to three 120 millimeter fans or two 140s or radiators up to 360 millimeters. And of course, it has that removable filter, which is just a magnetic filter. In this entire top section, you can actually remove from the case. It's a little harder than some of the other ones. Like you can just like pull them off. This, you have to remove a few screws, but this entire top section can be taken out. So you could, especially if you're doing water cooling or a radiator, you know, you can easily install things and then put the whole thing back, you know, onto the case. Side panel is your typical tempered glass side panel. It does have like these, just like a little design kind of cut into it, right?
I like
here.
That. Yeah.
It's just a little bit different, makes it stand out a little bit. It is slightly tinted, but not like a heavy tint or anything like that. And it has this toolless design, which I get into when you get inside. But basically, it kind of just pulls off, and then you can just pick the panel up, which is really great because I've scratched up so many. I use this display table, as you guys can see here, to take all of our photos. And that's just an IKEA tabletop. And I've scratched so many of those with side panels that, you know, that just fall off the side of the case. So yeah, we have old man in the chat. Good to see you here. Like, it's coming back. And, you know, we took a couple weeks off and old man wasn't here, and now he's back with us in the live chat. So good to see you here as well. Seven expansion slots like you would expect. Nothing real crazy, just your typical power supply mount at the bottom. You do get the pull-out filter there as well. Going inside, like I said, you can see how that panel just sort of sits there after you release it. Super easy to take off. And then we have the standard, very standard two compartment design. Top part is for your motherboard, graphics card, things like that. The bottom is for your power supply and storage. Not really much. Like I said, we have, you know, tons of cable routing holes. The three main ones over here have the rubber inserts. So it just makes it a lot easier and kind of hides a lot of the back part of the case. And things like that. The power supply cover is pretty much full cover. It opens up here at the front. If you were doing water cooling, you know, and had a radiator here, you do actually have room for it. You know, standoffs are pre-installed, which is really nice to see. Sometimes there was a while that Cooler Master wasn't doing that for some reason. And then you have to, you know, screw in the standoffs one by one. So all the standoffs are pre-installed, which is really, really nice. Here's that controller that I talked about. Like I said, everything is pre-wired, so you don't have to wire anything, and you have room for four fans and five ARGB connections. So if you wanted to add another fan, you have room for that ARGB connection. And say you even wanted to run an ARGB strip, you can actually go ahead and do that as well. Nice. And this is all pre-wired to a button on the top of the case that switches through the different modes and everything like that, because it is a true controller. Now, if you wanted to pass the ARGB signal to your motherboard, you can go ahead and do that as well. So there is a 3-pin addressable header that comes off of this that you can connect to your motherboard if you wanted to do software control. But I like that they have the controller, because some people hate software, some people hate the RGB software. Some people may not know how to connect it. It's nice that it's pre-wired and all the way done for you. In the bottom of the case, of course, you have room for your power supply. And then over here, you have a removable hard drive cage. So 2 3.5-inch drives and 1 2.5-inch drive here. Fully removable. You can take it out if you're not using it. And I didn't mention that you have room for two more drives here. So in total, out of the box, 5 drives, which I think is more than enough for most people, considering we also have at least one, if not four, M.2 slots on most motherboards these days too. So, and plenty of cable routing holes, and you can see all the tie downs, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And there's more than that too. You know, all the tie down points, so you can keep everything nice and tidy. Getting things installed was a breeze in this case. There's no real issues at all. You know,
and it's tough to screw up cases.
Yeah.
Like anymore. Right. I think most manufacturers have figured things out, but
yeah. So everything went in
anyways.
No problem, you know, drive. They sent us their new digital power supply, which is really cool.
Oh, cool.
That has the USB connection, and then you can monitor all the different rails, and you can change the fan speed through the software. So that's their V850i Gold. And they offer this from 550 all the way up to 850. And it's ATX 3.0 compliant too. So if you are building a new system with a 40 series graphics card, you don't have to use an adapter. It has the 12 VHPWR connector already there. So you have all that. And of course, that goes in the back of the case, no problem. And one thing that I thought Ryan might get a kick out of is the this little window here.
I saw the snap-on cover.
Yeah, so it has the snap-on cover if you don't want to show off your power supply. I took it off. This is nice. What it looks like. With it off there, you know what I mean? But Ryan's not you're not a fan of the window, right?
No, I mean, there's a couple, Kate, like, I look over at mine and I'm like, well, I see the side of this EVGA power supply and it's like a specs table showing through there. I'm like, nobody wants to look at that. This one doesn't look bad. You know, there's some others that look good from the side, but just my model doesn't, and most I don't think do. So I like that they have the option here of covering it or opening it up.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says, he says, I use the space above the power supply cover for two hard drives. I use extra plastic trays so it won't touch the metal. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of cases that have stuff like built into the power supply cover. So they would put like an SSD tray here, or we've seen that on a bunch of cases, and you can easily do that as well. And there's a ton of room over here. I call this like the dead space in the case, which is right here. Yep. You could easily mount drives here some way or another as well if you really wanted to. And then, yeah, so that's like, I mean, completely clean build. You can see just how clean this build is. So very easy. And like long power supplies or long graphics cards can fit in here. I think up to 410 millimeters. CPU coolers, 165 millimeters, which is well above like the 150, 155 you get on a lot of cases too. So that's all covered there. You can see the back. So this is all like pre-wired by them, these, but I didn't use any of the included cable ties or anything like that. Everything just kind of went into place. I really didn't need to use any cable ties, or, I mean, I could have cleaned it up with cable ties, obviously, but I think without using any cable ties.
Yeah,
I took out that bottom hard drive cage because I didn't use it, put it most of my cables down there. This all routed fine. Like everything was just good. So and then of course when you turn it on, you have those three ARGB fans that do light up. Here you can see the side of the case. I always like to say that, you know, those three fans in the front, they're going to provide some light but not a ton. So if you did want to like light up the inside of your case, either get more ARGB fans or get an RGB strip that will light this up a little bit better. But as far as the fans on the front, they look awesome. And, you know, you can cycle through effects. There's like, you know, your normal effects. There's like a breathing effect, a couple other different effects. And you can cycle through those seven colors that you typically get. And then there's mixed colors as well that you can cycle through. So you can see like this is the normal rainbow. And there's a, you know, you can see the different colors and effects and things you can kind of go through. It's nice that, again, it does come with a controller. I like having the controller. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
It's just, yeah. Just because sometimes, like I said, the software doesn't give you kind of maybe the effect that you want. This has a bunch of different effects all built into it. So then we move on to performance. Overall, I would say it's kind of sits in the middle as far as temperatures. It definitely sits in the middle for CPU temperature and GPU temperature. I think having an exhaust fan would have really helped. So we have no exhaust fan on this, We have the three fans in the front. I do feel like having an exhaust fan on the back would have definitely helped out a little bit more. But I mean, it is, like I said, it's very much in the middle, you know, when it comes to idle and low temperatures. Now, as far as noise levels, I did feel that those fans, especially in the front, were decently loud. Not, again, most case fans aren't like incredibly loud. It didn't feel like if you've ever run like an AMD stock cooler, that's really, really loud. These are not that loud. But even during idle, they were some of the louder fans that I've had on a case. You know, it just kind of is what it is. But again, it's like if I had these headphones on, I wouldn't hear it. You know what I mean? But it just point it out, it is louder than some of the other cases that we have reviewed. But at the end of the day, I think for $109, three included fans, pre-wired, so great for first-time builders, or like I said, people who just are annoyed with all the ARGB cabling. Tempered glass side panel, toolless design on the tempered glass side panel, five included spaces for hard drives, supports the latest hardware, you know, long graphics cards, tall CPU coolers, has room for water cooling.
Removable top is nice too.
Yeah, the removable top.
Type-C, USB.
Yeah, everything was fine with this case. I did like it. It was just a bit loud. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our good value award. Just another good one by Cooler Master. Okay, I really... Again, if this case was like 150, you'd be like, you know, but at 109, you really can't beat it. So, like I said, check out the review if you're looking for a new case. This one's quite good. And then I took a look at a different product, which got me in the gym. I go to the gym pretty regularly, but it was another excuse. You're always
up in the morning.
Yeah, I'm up in the morning going to the gym. So it's nice to test these because I always see these headphones, and I've had some in the past that have the clip that go around your ear. I'm like, it's going to be annoying, you know, putting them in is a little weird. But these ones were actually quite nice, and they do sound really, really good. So I took a look at the Monster DNA Fit wireless earbuds. Of course, I'm sure most of you guys have heard of Monster, probably for their cables more than anything. But if they make a ton of different audio products as well, and earbuds are one of them. And again, these ones are really made to be active. They're water resistant, so if you are sweating at the gym, you don't have to worry about them getting ruined or anything like that. And of course, like I said, they have the clips that go around your ear, which is really, really nice. So you have these rubber clips that come off and go around your ear. They do come with a nice charging case. I wish I had it.
It almost looks like a little speaker.
Yeah, it has this sort of fabric finish on it. It's really nice. Now, I do have to say it is bigger than some of the other charging cases that I have had with earbuds, but it's because it needs to be a little bit bigger because you have the clips, you know what I mean? That go in here. So the case carries a charge as well. So if you're without power, you can put them back in the charging case, and as long as you have the charging case charged up, it will charge these. And again, you just place these in there. Super simple. I don't know why for the longest time I remember like the early days of like the earbuds, you had these like little, you know, it was like a micro USB to each earbud, and you had to charge them individually, and then you had to pair them individually and all this stuff. Now these are so simple. So you just put them in the case and they charge. You open the case, they're ready to pair. The first time you get them, you open the case and they'll show up in your Bluetooth settings. You pair them and you're good to go. So now every time you open the case, they're going to pair to your device. Super simple. You don't have to pair one headphone to the other. They're all ready to go. Super simple. Just like, I mean, most earbuds are like this these days, but it is worth noting. You know, and one thing that's really nice about these two is that the ear tips, there are 11 sets of ear tips, which are all different sizes. So typically you get like three.
Right, maybe. Like a small, medium, large. That's it.
Yeah, you get a small, medium, large. This has 11. So whatever size ears you have, you're going to get ones that fit, which is really awesome there. You know, and then as far as like different, you know, how are these different than other earbuds out there? The first thing is that they do have active noise cancellation. So and it's really good. I was at the gym and there were other people working out. I couldn't hear anything. Like somebody could have walked up behind me and killed me. It was probably not the best thing, but you know what I mean? It's really good active noise cancellation, which I like.
Somebody's like asking you for help. They're like being strangled by a barbell and you're just over there.
Yeah. And I think where active noise cancellation is the best is a flight. I'm sure you know this.
Yeah.
Just drowning out the sound of the jet engine is the, you know, you kind of just want to, if you're watching a movie or playing a game, you just kind of want to be there. You don't want to hear the things around you. So the active noise cancellation is good. There's also a transparency mode. So, you know, you will be able to hear the things around you a lot better. So that mode worked pretty well. And then there's just the normal mode. And also, as soon as you take the any earbud, as soon as you take one of the earbuds out of your ears, it will pause your music or whatever you're listening to. It will pause it. So it's really great if you're listening to a podcast, because I've been like, I go out on a run like around here and one of the neighbors stops me and asks me a question. You know, if I'm answering, if I'm listening to a podcast specifically, like I miss that whole time I'm talking to my neighbor. Right, if I just take one out real quick. So this one, like I take it out, it pauses. I don't miss anything. And then you put it back in and it starts. And another thing that's nice about these compared to other earbuds that I've used and reviewed is that whenever you're changing between active noise cancellation or whatever it may be, it tells you. So it says like active noise cancellation mode. So sometimes you can just like, I have this other pair that you switch between the modes and you don't even know what mode you're on. You can kind of tell.
It just changes, but you don't know.
Yeah. So you don't know. And the, on the earbuds themselves, here's me wearing them. So this is a big button right here that changes your different modes and things like that. And then right up top here, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a smaller button that's volume up, volume down, as well as switching tracks. And it's all very easy to use. I thought it would be hard, especially that smaller button, but everything is very easy to use. So I really like these. They're currently $89.99. I think it's a good deal, especially like if you're a gym person, if you're somebody who's running as well. I've had so many. It's like the most annoying thing when you're in, especially like if you're doing like a barbells and stuff, you know, your lift, like if you put your head back, earbuds just tend to fall out.
Yeah.
These won't fall out at all. Or if you're running, if you are actually really running, earbuds tend to fall out as well. These won't fall out. So I think if you're a gym person, these are a pair of earbuds that you should definitely consider. And like I said, they sound good too. They would, all the other features don't mean anything if they don't sound good. And these actually sound really, really good. So I gave them a 9 out of 10 as well. The only thing I didn't like about these is that the charging case, there's just a single little LED on the end that lets you know that it's charging and that it's not charging. That's it. There's no like, there's no capacity or anything like that. I have like a couple like pretty cheap pair of earbuds, but their charging case has like an indication of how charged it is. And the other one I have, which is like, I think they're like $50. It actually tells you in percentage, like there's a little screen that tells you.
Oh, nice.
Now this charges via USB-C. It can be charged wirelessly as well. If you put it on like a wireless charging pad, it will charge. But again, no representation as how charged it is. So that's the only downside I felt with these. But most of the time, you just have the charging case kind of plugged in for the most part. So it's not really that big of a deal. But yeah, check it out. Like I said, if you're in the market for new earbuds and you want them to really stay in your ears, these are definitely a nice pair there. Old man in the chat says, I like noise cancellation. I've used Sony headphones with noise cancellation and it works and it's a really nice feature. Yeah, the Sony headphones that are like these that are like made, yep, nice. Like those in the Bose, that's like all you see people wear at the airport, and for good reason, because their active noise cancellation is so good. Like if you want to go to sleep on a flight, you just turn that on, you don't hear anything. So yeah, those are really, really good. I will move on from that to Case Mod Friday. Of course, we have a really cool build this week because when this case came out, it was like the coolest thing. It was something completely different, and it's cool to see it. I wouldn't call this case necessarily iconic, but it was just for the time when it came out, it was super cool case. And it's cool to see somebody sort of revive this case. So this is the RX-78 Quadstellar from Tantric Mods. And of course, this is in the Deep Cool Quadstellar case, which was this really cool and unique case that has this, you know, I guess like this, yeah, it's quad chambers, and it looks really cool from the front and the side. And he's got this sort of like space kind of theme with these panels, and he put a screen in it. So here you can see the four different chambers. And what's cool about this case is each chamber holds like a different thing. Like one will hold the power supply, one will hold the motherboard, the other one, you know, holds, I don't know if this one had the had a riser cable for the graphics card. I don't remember. I think it did.
It's been a while since I've seen
one. Yeah, but like one for the graphics card, then your storage was in another one. And you can see in the one here, you know, he had put a screen in this one, which is really cool. So you can monitor everything, which is pretty awesome there. But yeah, just a really cool case. And it's cool to see, again, an older case that was really popular kind of get revived with newer components. You can see we have the Hall of Fame card there. You know, Taltosh says those cases were cool, but super impractical. One, because the case was massive.
It is a huge case.
And then, yeah, there were some issues, I think, with cooling in this case too. That's so crazy because thinking about how old this case was, I remember because Deep Cool was like a very new company at the time when that case came out too. Because I remember going into the Deep Cool suite and seeing this at CES, and I was like, oh man, this is super crazy.
For yeah, such a new company.
Yeah, for such a new company and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, like I said, I like this one. It's like a
space kind of done a lot to make it look. Yeah, I like that theme. Well, and you said space themed. It's like Gundam themed because he's got the RX-87.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Naming on one section.
Yeah. So. Yeah, really cool. I like it. Another one. We've featured Tantric Mods a lot this year, I feel. Or like a lot in the past, I don't know, 6 months maybe. So really cool build. I love the way it looks from the front more than anything. I just think that looks super, super cool. So go ahead and check this one out. Of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. Taltosh says that would make a good Starfield build. Yeah, I think we're gonna see a lot of good Starfield builds. In the future, I think a lot of people are working on some of those, so be cool to see that. We'll move on to news. So we did talk about it a bit last week, how AMD in their, I believe it was their earnings call, they had said that they're working on new enthusiast graphics cards. And again, people got really excited, like, oh, something bigger than the 7900, you know, but what they meant by enthusiast to them is under their super high-end enthusiast.
Yeah, I think they it's like enthusiast and then ultra enthusiast or super enthusiast is kind of how they level their cards.
Yeah, so there was the first leak was from Power Color, and they leaked out the Radeon RX 7800 XT Red Devil. And from everything that we know, this card is going to be based on the Navi 32 with 3840 cores and 16 gigabytes of memory. So the big thing is that 16 gigabytes of memory. We're getting another card from AMD with 16 gigabytes of memory, which I think is a good thing considering.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the other side, you're not getting that. And I think again this positions pretty well, you know. So this is some picks of the Red Devil card. Of course, if you know Power Color, you know the Red Devil theming looks good. So that was the first, you know, real leak here. And that Navi 32 is the new GPU. It hasn't been announced yet. Right. So yeah, so that's the first thing that we kind of saw, and then
that's exciting.
The second thing that we saw is some EEC filings. Of course, that's the regulatory filings. where companies have to submit their products, and we find product names in those filings. And ASRock has a bunch of different cards listed here, 7800 XT, as well as a 7700 XT in here as well. So, and it looks like the 7700 XT will be 12 gigabytes, which again, I think is really good. I think it's the perfect time too. Don't you?
I'm excited for it. It's making me want to buy another video card.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, maybe the 7800 XT is what I want to go with.
You would go back. How long have you been on NVIDIA?
Just one generation. Cause before this, my best card was the RX 580.
Okay.
So I had the GTX 970. Then I went to the 580, which those two are very, very close in performance, yeah, to be honest. The RX 580 had 8 gigs of video memory though. And then yeah, the 2070. So
isn't it funny that the RX 580 had 8 gigabytes?
Right. And that's like, VRAM. I've had that for forever.
And, the 4060 has 8 gigabytes.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. So anyways, so yeah, it looks like these two cards are going to come out. I think it's expected decently soon, especially with the EEC filings. Should be decently soon. Would be give good competition against NVIDIA, I think. Yeah, I always like what AMD does. They're kind of like the no-nonsense brand, right? Like with the 7900, they're like, yep, here it is. This is what we're pricing it at. This is why. If you want it, that's like our best offering. You know what I mean? Like, we're not competing against the 4090, really. This is the, you know, especially with that price, they weren't $600 cheaper. So I kind of like it. And I think these will be no-nonsense. And again, I love this because with NVIDIA, you're like, okay, there's a 16 gig, there's an 8 gig. You know what I mean? This is like, the segmentation is what I like because it's easier for the consumer to decide what card to get, right? There's not 15 cards in a series. There's like six.
Right.
You know,
and they make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And in their segment and in their price, they make sense. So, yeah, that's, it's good to see. I'll be excited to see what those cards are about and how they perform. So
definitely.
Yeah. Great to see that. Moving on from that, we saw a really interesting card from Colorful come out, and there's a couple of these, and I feel like NVIDIA is, we'll bring up the video cards one, because I linked to the video cards one, but we'll use their article and not ours, because that's what I put in the notes. I told you I messed up the notes earlier.
You
and
did.
I only messed up. But Colorful is coming out with a iGame 4060 Ti 16 gig, which a couple of companies have come out with these like sort of enthusiast class 4060 Ti's. And this is like the iGame from Colorful is like their really enthusiast class line. Right. And this card looks awesome.
It is cool.
You know, if you're looking at it, right.
Oh, nice.
It seems like NVIDIA is trying to get board partners to get people excited about this
card. On board for this card. Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Give them a small one. Right.
Yeah. I think there was a Gigabyte one that looked really cool as well. And it's just like, nobody wants this card. Like, nobody wants this card.
People would want a card that looks like that and is that form factor, but with better specs, right? Not the 40. We don't want the 4060 Ti in this. We want something.
Well, no, you want the 4060 Ti for $300, not for
$500. Well, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I just feel like this is like I really feel that NVIDIA sent out an email or had a meeting with all the board partners like, hey, make a really cool card in this, for the 4060 Ti 16 gig spec. You know what I mean?
Right. We got to sell some of these guys.
Yeah. Like we got to get people somewhat excited for this. So Tall Touch said in the chat, I know somebody who bought a 4060 and already massively regrets it because he got to play Baldur's Gate 3 and it struggles. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's nothing wrong with the card per se. It's the price.
It's the price point, right?
It's the price. It's
well, and it's the thing is, like, you when you spend that much, you're almost like, well, it better do something good because that was a lot of money I spent on this, and now I can't play the game that I wanted, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, if it was a $300 card, it's one thing. Yeah, it's just that stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I assume we'll see some other 4060 Ti 16 gigs come out that are really cool and something that like you wish you saw for every sort of lower generation. But yeah, I think that's the card that they're going to, you're not going to see a normal 4060 like that, which is kind of sad. But moving over to CPU things, we talked about it, that the Raptor Lake refresh is coming up, supposed to be October. And looks like we have benchmarks, leaked benchmarks already for the Core i9-14900K, as well as the Core i7-14700K. I mean, these, I don't know how I'm messing these names up, but I just am.
They're pretty straightforward.
Yeah. 24 core on the 14900K, of course, 20 core on the 14700K. The benchmarks are here. We have the screenshots from Crossmark if you want to check them out. You know, these are all pending benchmarks, but yeah, cool to see this stuff leaked. And when you see leaks in benchmark databases, that means that these are pretty close, which, you know.
What's funny is I was looking at the just the specs table there. If you go to the table, the top one, and you look at the bottom on the right, power management says Acer. So it's like, oh, how did, you know, like, was this in a pre-built like Acer machine?
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like trying finding where these things are getting leaked out or how that happens.
Yeah.
It's just kind of.
I didn't even notice that. That is very interesting. Ryan's talking about right here at the bottom where it says Acer. Yeah, that
you
is
know these companies don't. I say.
Well, and you know what also out. Makes more
sometimes
sense.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And their screen this. Resolution as well. It's I bet it's on a lap. Is it on a laptop?
No, because it wouldn't be the full desktop.
That's true. Never mind.
But you know the this one on this side, they're running Windows 11 Pro, which is like. Something somebody would be, you know, that's what you would run if you're test, but this one's running Windows 11 Home, which typically comes with a pre-built.
Sure.
So maybe this is a new Acer pre-built. It has a 4090 in it.
Both of them did. And up above, there's like this system. It says ERP5. Like, is that did they cut out Acer? Like, is it an Acer Predator 5 system or something?
Ooh, Ryan, you're a detective tonight. Oh, I like it.
Look at me.
You gotta get one of those Twitter accounts that just putting stuff out there.
Right, just like
Yeah, you know, like one of those like all where we get a lot of our leaks from. You become a leaker.
That's right, but the new leaker. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be going through EEC filings and everything. You know, but yeah, 1920x1200. Yeah, that's a weird resolution. Yeah, because it is a laptop resolution, actually. But
usually, a lot of times.
Maybe it's an A, like a all-in-one. But it's not.
Well, and it's weird that the disks are both SATA drives. Like, not NVMe that is tested with. I don't know. It's off topic, but it's interesting.
Yeah. I do feel like most pre-builds come with a 2.5-inch SATA,
and a larger disk,
yeah. Which would be the top one, and this one would be a normal hard drive, yeah. But yeah, it's good to see that. So we have these specs and these benchmarks. So that's definitely a good start. And then the SKU that I think a lot of people are interested in, and I think it's both on the AMD side and on the Intel side, is that like 5 series. So we have specs confirmed for the i5-14600K. So 14 cores, 5.3 gigahertz boost clock. Of course, this is the leaked screenshots, which is not in American, obviously. But yeah, I have all the leaked information on that. This is running on the Gigabyte Z790 Gaming X AX and all that. So yeah, cool to see that there as well. So it looks like we're getting pretty close. Are you excited for this refresh? Or are you just kind of expecting more of the same?
I mean, it's always nice to see new products coming out. I'm not overly excited one way or another. Like, it was exciting when we were moving to like getting like fifth gen PCI Express, right? Like some of those, yeah. And moving to DDR5, some of those, yeah, jumps that we saw in the last year or two on both platforms. So the refresh isn't quite as exciting.
I never think the refresh is. The refresh typically isn't that exciting. It's just more of the same.
They've made tweaks, you know, to the product, but yeah, more of the same. Exactly.
Yeah. Would you ever think, I know they can't do it because they have to sell and things like that, right? Would you ever be okay with like them skipping a refresh?
Just so, like, this is what we released at the beginning and it's just going to be 2 years before.
So the product cycle would be like 2 years, but instead of getting that boring, not necessarily boring, but you get the refresh, which doesn't really give you much. But then on the next generation, after 2 years, you get, you know, the platform may be different. You're getting more features.
Right. I mean, from a customer perspective, yeah, sure. That you would, I feel like, I don't know. Because you almost get that FOMO. You're like, oh, I just bought this, but now the refresh is out already in a year. And then next year, the next one's going to be out. From a shareholder perspective, though, like, you know that they're not going to be able to just be like, well, we released our stuff and now we got to wait 2 years before we do anything else. That won't fly. Yeah,
it's an interesting conundrum because I feel like after 2 years, a lot of people are ready for something new, even though a lot of people have their PCs for like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever. But enthusiasts, 2 years, they're ready. And, you know, because it's not a refresh, you have all of these new features, right? So you have all of these new things and newer motherboards and maybe different socket, whatever. It gives you a lot more to be excited about, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and if, you know, somebody buys the refresh, then when the new thing comes out, they're like, I got the refresh, you know, a year ago, I'm good. But I don't know. That's just me thinking out loud there. So, but yeah, so it's cool to see that. Like I said, we'll keep you guys updated as we get closer to whenever that launch and announcement may be. Now, this is something that I saw, and I thought you might be super interested in this because you're the water cooling guy. DeBauer has made a custom water block that is good. It would be really great for small form factor systems. Basically, he has this block here. So this is the back of the socket, right? Right here. You know, that goes on the backside of your motherboard. And then there's a block back here. And basically water flows from the top block that goes on that's on top of your CPU through these holes. And it moves behind the motherboard. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? So that's kind of what it looks like. I can show you the... But like, that's kind of what it looks like, you see?
I mean, it's cool. Yeah, the stealth tubing there. But then like, that's behind your motherboard and your motherboard tray. So now you got to route your tubing that way. But I mean, if you want that stealth look, sure. I think it is cool. Like utilizing those pass-throughs, because those are just holes usually in the motherboard.
Yeah, right?
They're not very big around though. So
yeah, that's
they're obviously utilizing. Here. They're using all four of them, or they'd have to, in order to pass through enough liquid, right? So, but you've got an in and an out, so you can only use two for in and two for out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's thought of it.
Yeah, in
the design process.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah, I think it's cool, especially like, again, this is being shown on a small form factor. This is like the Asus Strix, you know, small form factor system. So yeah, it is pretty interesting. I always like to see the innovation and how, you know, people doing things differently. I think it's really cool. That's what the back looks like. And I guess you're right too. You would need room for the tubing behind the board. You know what right. I mean?
So you've got to have it. You have to have a motherboard cut out big enough, number one, and then you've got to route that tubing somewhere.
Well, that's the thing too, is that you need, some motherboards don't have a ton back there.
And right? Well, and based on the well, I guess his shows, he's got an Aorus board there, and the cutout's big enough to fit that piece. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. But like, we have the video in the article if you want to learn more about it. But I think he will do a build with using this, and we'll see some other ones. And again, I think for small form factor, and I think you could have some more innovation with this as far as looks and all of that. You know what I mean? And still getting, I assume, close to the same type of performance out of the block. Possibly, don't know, but yeah, pretty cool to see. Check out, like I said, check out the video. We have all of that linked in the article. Yeah, cool to see. Moving on from that, we have a new AIO from Asus. We did see this at CES, I believe. I think it was this one. I don't believe it was the first one. Their Tough Gaming LC2360 ARGB, long product name. this is their Tough 360 mil AIO.
I think I remember seeing this.
Yeah, this looked really cool. The way there's some like little bit of lighting on the front. It's really cool. I like this one from them, the one that we got to see at CES. So this is the new one's 360. Yeah, not really much to say about it.
Did this one have like the, wasn't the pump housing like all metal too? I thought, I could be wrong, but I feel like it was like that Tough series, right? And it was just like more rugged feeling.
It just looked better than other. Okay, we got all the AIOs, the screens and this, but this just like looked solid, and it looked like if they had it in their Tough case, and it all looked good altogether. Yep. I think, you know, so yeah, so pretty cool to see that. Not really much else to say about it. It's just, I thought it was pretty cool. And again, 360 is going to give you pretty good performance overall there. And it's interesting, I don't know who's making this for Asus, because it's not Asetek, because
right, the pump there.
The pump is there. So it's interesting to see who's making this for them. But pretty cool. Nonetheless, we have that. We also have a new interesting keyboard from EpoMaker. I wanted your thoughts on this because I think it is pretty cool. Not the coolest thing I've seen on a keyboard. This is their Shadow X. You know, interesting that you have the little dial up here, but you have this little screen on the side. The screen, at least currently here, it's showing the time, the dates. I believe these are,
I don't know, probably like your caps lock.
This is the
page up, page down, maybe your battery.
Yeah, this battery. I don't know what any of these other things are. This 1, 2, 3 might be what
profiles or something.
Yeah, something like that. Not sure, but pretty cool to see that little screen there and how it interacts. I assume there's software of some kind. Maybe. Don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Yeah. So, metal knob, you know, like you see on a lot of new keyboards these days, which I think is like, for like a lot of people, that's like the new, like, you got to put that on a keyboard. If that's not on your keyboard, you know,
no, all I've got is a volume up, volume down button.
I don't have any on this key. I don't really,
65.
It's on my headphones. I don't know, but that seems like every new keyboard has that. But yeah, a bunch of different color options as well. The one thing I really like about this is the larger lettering on, maybe because I'm getting old. It's the larger,
it's a design choice. It's not function. Yeah. It's
But I do like, I always like keyboards that do have the little bit of larger legends on the keys. It just looks better in my opinion. But that's a new keyboard. 2.4 gigahertz as well as Bluetooth on this. We have a video if you want to check it out and learn more about it. But I did think the screen is just, it's not like a massive screen, like really big or anything like that. It just kind of gives you the stats and maybe, I don't know what else you could do with it. Maybe you could even just put a little GIF on here or something. Who knows? But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool overall. And moving on to gaming stuff, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 will launch on November 10th. Are you at all? Do you care?
No, don't care.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that do.
Is it that big of a PC game, though? I mean, I guess by the numbers. I guess by the numbers it is.
It used to be, like, I feel like it used to be that one of the biggest PC titles. And then consoles, like, you know, came around with, like, the 360 and the PS3. And that's when those consoles really took off with FPS type games. And I feel like Battlefield and Call of Duty have just more shifted towards that console crowd.
I always felt like it was a choice between Battlefield and Call of Duty, and I always played Battlefield.
Oh yeah,
because Battlefield was like the first to give like the big lobby, right? So remember when it went to 32 and then it went to 64 and you were like, yeah, like we're playing with so many people. Like that's why I guess I was a Battlefield player since the beginning. And I never really I don't even think I've ever played a Call of Duty.
What? Really?
I don't think.
Wow.
It just was never my thing. I was just always Battlefield guy.
I played like COD 2 and then skipped to Call of Duty 4, which was the original Modern Warfare. And okay. I played that like crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll get it and we'll play it. Who knows, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's coming out November 10th, of course, on all systems. We have the trailer if you want to check it out. I can't get excited about this, so that's just me. But yeah. And then we've been posting, like, there's been rumors of, like, Nintendo Switch coming out, like, a new one. We've been posting some stuff, like, sporadically on the website. Like, oh, here's, you know, some...
Well, and we've been talking about other handhelds, too.
Yeah, right? Like, and I think it kind of correlates. And people got, like, really upset that we were, like, posting, like, rumors and specs. They're like, oh, like, our one Facebook post, like, blew up. And people are like, wait till it comes out. Oh, this computer website talking about Nintendo DS, blah, 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 blah. It's like, we're just talking about rumors, man. Calm down. People were really upset about it. But yeah, I mean, the new report, 512 gigs of internal storage, 8-inch LCD, no, like, by default OLED, which sort of makes sense because they're making more money off that OLED kind of special edition version. That kind of makes sense. Yeah, I mean, is this something that you have a Switch, do you not?
We do, yep. My son uses it all the time.
Yeah, and
it's coming up on 2 years of him having it, I think. Battery life's still good.
And again, if this is coming out, this report, it could be as earlier as later announced this month.
Later this month, yeah.
And, you know, going into September-ish, perfect for holiday season. That's the, because you're not getting anything new from Sony or Xbox, right? As far as the console space goes.
I don't think so.
You know, and as far as like mobile gaming, you do have the PC, you do have all the PC stuff. You still have Steam Deck, which is great. And you have the new ROG Ally. We saw the one from Lenovo. We've seen some other ones, you know. So, you know, for people who are like truly console or they had an original Switch, new ones coming out, better specs, blah, blah, blah. Perfect for holiday season. I think it makes sense.
I think they could really capitalize if they were able to use the same like dock and maybe some of the other pieces that come with this. So that, you know, like offer up different versions. So one that comes with the dock, so that if you are just a fresh Switch buyer, right, this new version, you buy that one. But if you're a seasoned Switch owner and you could just buy the console itself and utilize it with the dock, I think that would be awesome.
You know,
it's like just like a Type-C connection.
Yeah, you know what I'd like to see is a new PSP. I had a, that's the last mobile console I had, really, was a, you know, it was a PSP. That thing was fun. But yeah,
I never had a portable gaming system outside of like a Tiger LCD thing that just had moving pieces of the LCD.
You never had a Game Boy.
Not until like a year ago when I bought one. Wow. and it was included in a comic book collection. So
that's crazy.
Yeah,
I had a Game Boy. I had the
Did you have a Game Gear?
Yeah, is that?
That was the second one.
Yeah, I had that, and I had the PSP, and I also had the what did Nintendo make before the Switch?
Oh, the DS. I guess I had like a DS.
Was it a DS? I don't even remember what a DS looks
like. The DS 3, the DS like XL or something.
I had one of these.
The 2DS and the 3DS.
Yeah. I had the other thing
too. Oh, the Wii U?
No, I didn't have the Wii U, but I had a Wii, but I didn't have a Wii U, but I had the DS. But I had the one before the DS too. Was that just like a Game Boy Color that flipped up?
I think they had a Game Boy Color that flipped up, yeah. It was more like two squares on top of each other.
Right, Game Boy, yeah. Is that? No.
It's whatever.
Wait, Game Boy Color.
Console, here.
No. I had one of these as well, but I had the other thing that flipped open. What was it? Oh, wait, Game Boy Advance? Is that it?
No, that one was like kind of hexa, whatever. Looked like a cooler.
No, this is it. This is it. Okay. Yeah, I had that as well. You had none of these. That's crazy.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I have like two DSs now.
Yeah.
And again, because I've bought them like years later, but I never had them growing up.
No. Yeah, no. These were so much fun. It'd be cool to see Sony, you know, nostalgia is the big thing now, you know, coming out with like a PSP.
Well, was it Old Man in the chat that like maybe it wasn't last week, somebody was talking about one of like the emulators that you can buy, and my boss has one at work, and it does like everything from
I've seen those,
like how are those PlayStation legal? Well, the device is legal. It's the ROMs that aren't legal. So
but don't they ship with the ROMs?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Because you see some of these things, and like you see like the TikToks with the like, oh, this is the whatever Game Power 3000. It comes with 3,000 games on it or whatever. Like, how's that? I guess they're being sold out of China, so like it doesn't matter.
Maybe, yeah.
But you see those, and I'm like, how are they getting by copyright or whatever? So. But yeah, mobile gaming, like I said, I think Nintendo, the DS, perfect for holiday season. And again, not only just because it's like when you gift something or when people buy new things, it's also when a lot of people are traveling. So having something to game on the plane, it just all makes sense. Taltosh says, the ROMs come on a separate SD card usually, so the device itself is clean. It's the SD card. Right. I still don't see how you get away with that, though.
You're still selling it together, yeah.
Yeah, you're still selling. I don't know, but maybe I'll buy. They're like $50 to $60, are they not? Something like that, right?
What I was looking at was like maybe 80.
Maybe I'll buy one, and we'll test.
It's nice, like the one that he had. I messed with it a little. Yeah, there's some back buttons and really nice screen, and
there was this like yellow one that I had saw maybe like a year ago. I was like, oh, that'd be cool, but again, I don't. Like when I leave the house, I'm like going to like dinner. Like I don't have
And you can put a lot of cool games on your phone too, right?
Like, yeah, and you can run even on the iPhone. You can run emulators and things like that. So Tall Touch said, yeah, some can run as high as 500. Yeah, I've seen some really nice ones. Like I said, they show up on TikTok every once in a while. Some of those, but yeah, I believe that is news for the week. Talking about coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a laptop from Lenovo, their Yoga 9i. I don't know if you remember, I reviewed their Yoga 9i 2022. Yep. This is their 2023.
Isn't that the super light one?
It's the one that has like the best audio I've ever heard out of a laptop. Okay. This has the same, it's basically a sound bar. That's in it. Let me see if there's a picture. Oh, I don't have my screen shared. I want to share my screen. It has this sound bar. Kind of hard.
That's built into the hinge, right?
Yeah, it's built into the hinge. It's like right here.
So it kind of aims it up towards you.
Yeah. And it's actually like an actual, it's not just like a speaker. It's actually like a sound bar with like tweeters and I don't know, it's awesome. But this has the 13th gen processor in it. So fast, you know. So yeah, and it looks and feels awesome. And it does have that bigger screen. This probably has the, and I have the OLED version. So pretty pumped about that. But yeah, 3840 by 2400 on it. Oh. Yeah. And it's OLED and it looks, I like opened it up for the first time and like turned on. And I was like, it's something about the OLED. It's just really, really nice. So we'll have that for you guys next week. And then I have a really cool keyboard from MelGeek. We reviewed a few of their keyboards, and I've liked every one so far. This one, I sent you a picture of this earlier today, Ryan.
Is this the... You did? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you didn't tell me what it was.
Yeah, so this is their Modern 97 key keyboard. So it brings over the... why? I don't know if this is the website. Over to the... I wish I could make these bigger. Oh, wait, here we go. Yeah, so it brings over the number pad into the keyboard to make it, I guess you would say, not as big as a full-size keyboard, but...
It's going to be bigger than a TKL.
But... Yeah, it's bigger than a TKL, but it just kind of not cramps it, because it's not cramped by any means. But this is the color that I got, too, and it looks really cool with, like, the... I don't even know what you would call it. What are they even calling it?
It looks like splatter paint on there.
Right? Yeah, like... it's... I don't think they have, like, a... It's just called Ocean.
Okay. I liked the blue, like you sent me one, the picture you sent me, it was like, yeah, the gold and the blue and the white looked really good.
Yeah So it's a really cool keyboard. You can see the
splatter. Oh, I like that plastic bottom too, that
yeah,
it's translucent design,
and it sounds so good. I can't wait for you to hear the sound test. It sounds so good. It's really cool. So yeah, hot swappable switches, and their new switches, Kale Sonic 53s. I've never used those before, so I'm excited about those. We're excited for this one. This one's gonna be cool. So it's definitely stay tuned for that next week as well. As we come to the end, we always talk about any tech related things we have done or we've been working on. Are you do anything tech related?
Nothing tech wise. No, I don't think so. I always look around my room to see like if I'm missing something. I have a product in that I'm working on or about to start working on. So
nice.
Just another microphone.
I'm excited because they sent an arm with it. So that'd be pretty cool.
They did. Yeah.
I'm just working on reviews, obviously. Nothing. Some interesting camera stuff coming up that came out. We talked about the Osmo Action 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some other camera stuff that I want to pull the trigger on some camera things, but I just not right now. We'll see.
Yeah. You need to focus on finding your next apartment.
Yeah. And I always say this, and they have gotten better over time. I'm like, why do all these apartment websites, like, you know, like the Zillow rentals and the PadMapper and the, like all these, they're all just so bad. Like they're just like these service, like whatever, yeah, the services, you know, for listing apartments are just horrible. If anybody knows anyone that's not really well known that might help, let me know. But
like, most what's of bad them, about it, they're just like,
they're like, I think there's just like a service that like sends the same apartments to everyone, right? So if you go on Zillow, they're the same ones. If you go on PadMapper, they're the same ones. If you go on like apartments.com, it's all the same ones. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I always think like I should, after all the years of moving, I should like create my own thing that would give you everything, I guess. But it would just, yeah, it's all more the same. I feel too, a lot of people, especially people who live in like an area that gets, that they know they're going to rent the apartment, like they take really blurry pictures on like a cell phone and upload those as the listing photo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just not good. Looking for a new place. You've been where you are for like a very long time, right?
Like our house?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 7 years?
House is a lot different too. Mm-hmm. I feel, because obviously the house, you know, there's professional photos taken. It's not like, you know what I mean?
When I remember, man, it's been forever. It's been over 20 years since I lived in an apartment. But it felt like they would always take pictures of like their model room, right? They would always have one that was just staged, and those were the pictures you got. And then when you actually like went to go look at it, they're like, all right, now we're going to go look at the one that you're actually going to get. And it was kind of like, well, maybe.
So my last, like, you know, the really crappy apartment, one bedroom apartment I lived in before I moved to California, I was shown a model, and then the place I moved it to looked nothing like. They're like, yeah, it's gonna look the same. And then I walked into my model, or I walked into my apartment, and I was like, this is not the same. Yeah, no, a lot there places do that. And now what they do, so instead of even having a model thing, whenever the place is built, whatever, they take pictures of it empty, mm-hmm. and now they use like 3D AR model, like, you know, they put a bed in there that you can tell the bed's fake, and it's
kind of sad that they can't keep like one apartment just furnished or semi-furnished that they uses the demo. But I mean, they want to rent them out.
Well, I mean, we're like where I live now, and a lot of the like the bigger, like, so I live in like a big complex, right, that has the pool and all that stuff. All of those places typically do have a model, you know, like a one bedroom model, two bedroom model. But yeah, it's just for looking. I need to like hire an agent. I feel like, I don't think you can do that really with like rentals, but it's just like, I want somebody else to do it because it's just so annoying. And then trying to schedule while you're working, like, it's just not fun. So we'll keep you updated on my moving thing. So we'll probably end up having to miss a week for whenever I move. That's just kind of how it is. Okay. But yeah, new season of Apex Legends. So we'll be jumping on there. Kind of excited about that, right? Hopefully Ryan got his update going. We know he has a slow internet, so.
It's done.
Yeah. So we'll be jumping over on Twitch. You can see us over there, twitch.tv/ Think Computers. And we will catch everybody over there. So thanks everybody for coming out. I feel like I'm forgetting this. Like, something's coming up, but there's nothing coming up.
I don't think so. I mean, our family calendar is full. I got all sorts of stuff coming up.
But, I feel like I'm missing something, but I guess I'm not. But anyways, like I said, guys, we will be over on Twitch. Make sure you head on over there. Ryan will be hosting that stream, and we'll catch everybody next week.